Amen. So, if we have a verse for this first this series, it is Proverbs 18:21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, it's a choice. It's a choice what we say, what we do. Now, again, like I talked about, it was last week, I think, the devil made me do it. You know, we say that sometimes, like it was just, I didn't mean to do it. He made me do it. And that's not a true statement ever. Now, he may have put that in front of us to do. But how many of you know, there are times that we have to choose how we're going to handle a situation with our mouth, right? Now, there's a verse in Deuteronomy. Now, it's kind of talking a little bit. It's not really talking about the tongue, but it's the principle that I'm going to read to you right now is this. It says, I call Deuteronomy 30:19. This is not in your notes. You'll have to add this in. There's a couple of them you'll have to add in today, especially towards the end. But that means you just have to take notes. Amen? How many of you know it's important to take notes? You know why it's important to take notes? Because, look, if I'm up here for 35, 40 minutes, you're not going to get half of what I say, right? Furthermore, you're not going to remember exactly where everything's at to go back this week and look for it yourself, because that's the goal of today. Every message that I preach is not for you to hear right now and then go home. It's for you to take these. That's why I do these. It's not because it's fun, right? I mean, it is kind of fun writing the word in and stuff like that, you know, like a little game or something. Maybe, I don't know. But the reason why I do this is so that you can go home and get in this book and make sure that the principle that I gave you actually lines up with what I said it did. Amen. Right? I mean, I like that you guys just trust me in everything that I say, but you're not supposed to do that with anybody. What does the Bible say? Be like the Bereans. The other thing that he says, what does it say? It says, trust God, not man. Right? Does it say that? It's in there. Trust God, not man. So I love the fact that you guys just take what I say and say, yes, it's there. But I want you to go home and look it up, man. I want you to go home and find it. I want you. And if you find something that's not right, come to me in love. Don't be like, you're an idiot. You're wrong. That would be using it unwisely. But come to me and say, hey, man, this is what I found. Talk to me about it. Why do you see it that way? How many of you know we argue sometimes when we should just come and say, man, I don't understand it. Show me how you see that, right? And then both of you divide the word of God together and look through it together and come to a conclusion together. That's what we are given the choice. And again, with this scripture, Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Now, this is talking about salvation. This is talking about putting God in the right place. But how many of you know that principle works in everyday life? There's situations in front of me that I can choose God's way or I can choose my way, right? And our mouth is one of the most important of those that we can choose. The most important areas that we can do that. Remember there's been a couple of really good like one-liners that I like throughout this sermon series. One of them, and my pastor Carl Kelly, I don't know where he got it from, but he always says this, and I remember it year after year after year hearing this, was keep your words sweet, you might have to eat them. Again, where does that come from? That comes from the scripture that I read at the beginning. Those who love it will eat its fruits, right? Keep your words sweet, you might have to eat them. The first week we talked about complaining, about changing our perspective, and because of that, our mouths change, how we speak about things change. The next week, we talked about whispers, about gossip, about talking about people. And remember, man, the easiest way to do that is to in your mind, put that person right here, standing next to you in the middle of your conversation. If you wouldn't say it in front of them or to them, then don't say it, right? Just because it's true doesn't mean it needs to be said, right? Then the last week we talked about lies. How many of you look differently about what you said and how you said things? Not saying half truths this week, right? Not omitting certain things out of the story, out of the situation. You know that's hard to do. It's difficult. You know, if doing right was super easy, we wouldn't have a problem with it. But having, you know, a lot of times in our mind, in our brains, in the way that we think, in our hearts, it's not easy to do what's right. It's easier to do what's not right. It's easier to lie to save someone's feelings, or it's easier not to tell the whole truth because you want to look better, or you don't want yourself to look bad in a situation, right? Today we're going to talk about speaking life. And realize this. This is crazy. This is a crazy statistic. You guys ready? Every day you and I speak about 25,000 to 40,000 words. Every day, you and I speak, the average person speaks about 25,000 to 40,000 words. Some of us, double time, that would be me, right? Some of us talk a whole lot more than others. My wife, she'd probably be way under the low side of that. But if we're speaking that much, and we understand it in Revelations, it tells us that we're going to give an account for every idle word we speak. For every word that doesn't really matter, we're going to give an account for saying it. So how much more are we going to give an account for the wrong things we say or the right things that we say? That's one of the things that we don't get, man. The scripture tells us that we're to store up our treasures in heaven. How do we do that? By our actions, by the things that we say, the things that we do, how we encourage people, how we build people up, how we do what God's word has said without shouting it from the rooftops. I mean, you know, that's one of those things that we love to do. I did this, so I'm going to tell everybody about how good I am, how holy I am, because I did this. Well, God, Bible says that's your reward, right? So thinking about the Bible, how important is our speech? How important is what we say? So I'm going to give you some things. The word tongue appears almost 150 times in the Bible. The words talk, talking, or talker appears 125. The word speech appears 40 times. The word speak or speaking appears 480 times. The word lips appears 125 times. The word mouth appears 322. And finally, the word words appears in the Bible 1,000 times. So when you add them up, we see that the Bible mentions communication with our mouth more than 2,000 times. How many of you know if the Bible's going to mention it that many times, it's probably important. It's probably important, and we need to look at it. We need to try and make sure that what we say, the words that we use, the communication that we use, doesn't tear people down, but it builds people up. Amen? That we speak life into people. James 1:19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Why is it important that we're slow to speak and slow to anger and quick to listen? Because when we do those things, we think before we speak. Remember that filter some of us were not born with, right? It comes out your mouth and you're trying to grab it and pull it back in, but it's too late. If we would understand that we need to stop and process everything before we just speak out about something, we need to get all the facts about what's going on before we start tearing something down, we might see that there's a whole different side of the story that we're not aware of. Maybe we didn't get all the facts. Maybe the person that came to us embellished a little, or they left a little bit out of the story, right? We need to be deliberate with our words. So today, I will use my big fat mouth to, number one in your notes, lift others up. Lift others up. Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as the occasion fits, that it may give grace to those who hear." Why would words need to give grace to people? Why? Because probably what it's talking about right here is not talking bad about somebody because they messed up, but give them grace and help them get out of the pit they just put themselves in, right? How many times do we beat people down because they're in a pit? Like, well, you did it to yourself. You should have paid attention. Instead of standing beside them and say, "Hey, man, you know what? You are better than this, and you and I are going to get through this together. I'm going to help you with it. I'm going to help you get through this." Because how many of you know enough people are beating them up about what they did? More so, they're probably beating themselves up more than anybody else is about what they did. We need to speak life. Give grace to those. Tell people that they're a blessing. You're a blessing in my life. Just having you in my life makes my life better. Right? Just having you as a friend. Everybody needs to have somebody like you that's going to stand by them. Right? So, How many of you know there's just some people in this world that do that, just build you up, no matter what happens? So I remember in Louisiana, there was one guy that always used to shake my hand when I come into the church. Mr. Jim, always there, happy to see me. Always happy to see everybody. And you know how many people love coming to church because they got to see Jim? And if he was missing, everybody knew it, right? I'm going to tell you who my favorite person to see on a Sunday morning here is, right? Not to play favoritisms, but I think you guys will understand. One of my favorite things about Sunday morning is seeing Charlotte come down the thing and say, Pastor Dovey, Pastor Dovey, Pastor Dovey, and come running as fast as she can to give me a hug. That builds me up. That encourages me, right? I love that. She don't have to say nothing else, but that builds me up. That lifts me up. Even when she's kind of cranky, she still acknowledges me, right? We all get cranky sometimes, right? But just having somebody excited and using their words to tell me how much I mean to them, right? How encouraging is that? It's amazing. You can do this, right? You always speak the truth to me in love. You always come and help me, but you help me in the right way. I wouldn't want to do life without you. See, this is the thing. We don't tell people how much they mean to us until they're in a basket at the front, right? Casket, box, whatever you want to call it. They're in a thing at the front. And then we want to tell them how much we love them. Then we want to tell them how much they mean to us. Then we want to tell them how amazing they were in our lives. Why don't we do it now? Why don't we do it now? Why wouldn't we lift people up? So, if you hang out with me anytime, you'll understand that I love playing with kids. I love talking to kids. So this is a true story. We were in Gatlinburg, or Pigeon Forge, actually. We had just got up there. We just left Dollywood. We didn't have any groceries in the place, so we went to Walmart. And I had to run to one side and get something, and the girls and April were at the other side. And I was walking through, and there was this kid that was kind of throwing a fit. And right in the middle of the thing, and the mom was here, and the dad was here with the car, and they were trying to talk to him. And I had to get past them. And you know how it is, the one-way lanes now. You got to go the right way. And so I walked up to him, and I said, hey, buddy, what are you doing? And he just looked at me, and he was still mad and everything. And I said, check out those Batman shoes, man. Them things are amazing. I said, did your mom and daddy give you them? He's like, I said, look, man. They only give those Batman shoes to people they really love. So they must really love you. Do you know what? His whole world changed. He was happy with his mom and dad now, right? And he was so proud of them shoes, right? He was ready to just like, hey, I got shoes, right? Why? Because I didn't say, man, little kid, get out of the way, man. You're blocking up everything, crying. What's wrong with you? I took just a minute to pour into him and tell him how amazing what he had was. And because of it, his whole perspective changed. Do you know that you can change someone's whole perspective on life just by speaking life to them? Just by lifting them up with what you say. How crazy is it that we can do that with our words? How crazy is it? Catherine Fisher Fulcher, I can't even say her name. It says it right there, right? Her. She said it. You ready? Always be generous with your encouraging words. You may find they will inspire others to be the best they can be. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. How do we do that? By pointing people to Christ? That's how they're going to be the best they can be. But by lifting them up, by talking good to them. So I have a boss. I had my boss in Louisiana. His name was Brandon. And Brandon could really tell you how horrible you were doing at that moment. But do you know how he always started it out? By telling you how amazing you were doing, that you were doing this great, you were doing this great, you were doing this great. I love how you do this like this, but now we need to work on this, okay? We need to work on this, this, and this, and this. And then he encouraged us and sent us out. So like he lifted us up, and then he threw us on the ground, and then he picked us up, brushed us off, and sent us on our way, right? That's how he did it. Maybe we need to do that with other people if we have a criticism or something that needs to be spoken to them. We still need to lift them up in what we're saying and how we're saying it and what we're doing. Because how many of you know, when you're beat up, the last thing you need is more people doing it. Hebrews 24 and 25 says this. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. Do you know what this tells us that we're supposed to do? We're supposed to sit around and think about ways that I can encourage other people. Let us think about it. Let us consider how, like God, today, how, I'm just now getting up, I might be having a rough morning, or I might be having a great, it doesn't matter. God, how can I build other people up and point them to you today? Who can I do it to? What if you sat and contemplated on that instead of on all the things that weren't going right in your life right now? Right? Just think that thought. And then how much better is it to see the people that your words have lifted up? Right? That their world has changed because of that. We need to find somebody to lift up with our words today. We need to, when we walk out these doors in a minute, whether we go to the grocery store, or whether we go to a restaurant, or whether we go wherever we go, we need to find a way to tell people how good they're doing. I don't even remember where we were at. I just remember her face, the lady's face, when we talked to her about how well she was doing things. And she was, like, her day was devastated. She was crying. She had, like, dropped drinks all over people, and she had done this, and she had got the orders wrong, and she had done all kinds of things. And we just told her that how amazing it was that she was still staying there and continuing to do what she was doing, because it's going to get better, right? You know, she started crying, but for a totally different reason. Why? Because somebody encouraged her. Somebody built her up. You know what? We need to do that. We need to find ways to build people up. Number two in your notes, we need to honor others. Honor others with our mouths. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So how many of you guys like competitions? Here you go, right? I'm gonna find people, and I'm going to honor them more than you ever could. You know what? If we all did that together, there'd be a lot of people getting honored around here, huh? A lot of people getting built up. Outdo means to, the definition means to go beyond in action or in performance. So we're supposed to try to be better than everybody else at honoring people. How crazy is that? Have you ever thought about that before? I mean, I've read that scripture I don't know how many times, but until I was sitting down getting ready for this message, I never even thought about that. Right? We're supposed to outdo others by honoring people. What is honoring? What does it mean to honor someone? To regard or treat someone with admiration or and respect. To regard or treat with honor. To give special recognition to. How many of you know you don't have to agree with somebody to honor them? Right? You don't have to agree with what the president does to give them the honor that's due that position, according to what the scripture says to us. Whether you like him or not, whether you like whoever comes in next or not, whether he's there again or there's somebody else, we're still to honor the president, those who he puts in authority over us according to scripture. We don't like that part of it. Like, God, couldn't you have left that part out of the Bible? But how many of you know that's how we show who we are? We need to honor them with our words. How hard is that sometimes? How hard is it to honor some people? It doesn't matter according to the scripture, right? We're to honor others. We're to build others up. I'm supposed to honor my father and mother. Again, man, I've disagreed with a lot of things that my mom and dad have told me that I should do and shouldn't do and needed to do or had to do, right, in my life, more so when I was a teenager. I was dumb back then. All right, y'all ready to laugh? I'm talking about being dumb when I was a teenager. There's a song I love. My kids like to listen to it. It says, when I was young, I was dumb, and then I got older. I'm still dumb. Only difference is now I know it, right? I didn't know it before, but now I know. Anyway, how many of you did some dumb things growing up? How many still got some dumb tendencies from time to time? A lot, yeah, yep. That's how it is. But how many of you know we need people to honor? We need to honor people. We need people to honor us. Do you know what? If I honor you and you honor me, we're both honored and lifted up. If you honor me and I choose not to honor you, there's something lacking, right? There's something lacking. We need to honor the people that are around us with our mouths. We need to give them honor for the things that they've done. We need to build them up again. The next thing we need to do is we need to praise God with our mouth. Speaking life, we need to praise God. Why do we praise God? Why do we praise God? Psalms 34, 1 through 10 says, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me. You are my refuge." How many of God's our everything in our life? He's given us everything that we need. He's given us provision for the things that we need to be able to receive those things. He's done way more than he ever should for any of us. He's done way more for me in my life than I am ever going to be worthy of. And if you're being honest, I guarantee you it would be the same thing. If you're not being honest, refer to last week when we talked about lying, and that might help you get right in the right spot there, right? Why do we need to praise him? Because he is worthy of it. Because he's worthy of it. Because without him, where would we be? So how do we praise God? Hebrews 13, 15 says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Now, how many of you know sacrifice isn't really a fun thing? So we're supposed to continue to offer up praise to him even though we don't want to. Even though we don't feel like it. Even though we're not in a position that we are looking to praise anything, right? We're still supposed to praise him. You know, in every situation, you could find something to praise God about. Every situation. You say, "Well, I can't see it." Then you're not looking, man. Look for it. Look for it, because the scripture tells us that God can bring good out of every situation, right? My years spent running from God and doing the things that I did, you say, how can you ever say that those things were good? No, those aren't good, but what was brought out of it is good. My ability to sit across the table from a drug addict and say, "Dude, I know right where you're at. I've been in that spot." God can change everything. My ability to sit with somebody who's battling with alcohol and other things that have got a bind on them, I can sit across from them and say, "Man, I get it. I know where you're at. You don't understand anything. Let me tell you a little bit of background on me," right? I love it now that some people look at me and say, "You never did those things. You could never have done those things." That just means my life has changed enough that they can't see it, right? I remember my dad used to tell me how mean he was when he was a kid, when he was a teenager. Y'all met my dad, right? You're like, "There ain't a mean bone in that man's body." I guess he used it all up as a teenager or something. I don't know. But he says how mean he was and how, you know, all these different things. And I can't see it. I still can't see it. I understand my dad is not a liar, y'all. Right? I don't know a more truthful man, be honest. But if he said it, I know it happened. So if the change can come that much, how much praise do we need to give to God for that? How much praise do I need to give to God because of my own stupidity in my past that he allowed me to live through it and allowed me to be changed and place me where I'm at right now? Right? Think about your life. You say, "Well, I'm horrible. That was a bad situation. What happened to me as a kid, or the way they treated me, or the way people talked to me, or this, or that, or the other." Do you know what? By people treating you bad with the way they spoke to you, you know what that did? That made you aware that you never want anybody to be that way, be talked to that way, be treated that way. And you'll do everything you can to not, right? If you learn something from it. If you didn't learn from it, guess what? You end up doing the same thing to other people that was done to you when you were younger. Right? The only thing that can make that difference is God in the middle of that situation. Freedom from bitterness in the middle of that situation. Freedom from hurt because of their past situation. Why? Because hurt people see hurt everywhere. Bitter people see bitterness everywhere. If you have those things, let's go back and look at the root and say, God, where did it start? Why do I have it? Help me have freedom from it. We need to praise God. How do we do it? A sacrifice of praise with the fruit of our lips. So all these verses are probably not on your paper, so get ready to write. Y'all ready? I'll give them to you slow, as slow as I can. Y'all know how I am. The first one, we need to praise God through song that glorifies him. The Bible is full of examples of people praising God with a song. Right? When anything good happened, what did they do? Children of Israel sang a song. They built an altar to remember it, and they sang song. They sang worship. The Bible is full of it. Psalms 40 verse 3 says this: He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise. This tells us and shows us that not only music is a beautiful way to praise God, but he has actually gifted us with music for a reason. Amen. Why did he give us music? So that we could praise him. So that we could glorify him. So that we could be taken out of our situation for a minute, because we're not going to focus on me and myself and the situation, but I'm going to focus on the one who made a way so I could come out of it. And I take the focus off of me and my issue, and I put it on God, who's big enough to take care of it and can do anything and will do it if I will just give it to him. Why do we praise him with our lips? Why do we sing? He's given us music to us. He's given us our voices so we can make a joyful noise. He covered everybody, y'all. You say, I can't sing. It's okay. There's a verse in there that says, make a joyful noise. That's you. He didn't say nothing about y'all to sing pretty. I'm just saying. Right? I tell people I'm a jailhouse singer. Some of y'all heard this before. Some of y'all didn't. Because I'm always behind a few bars and looking for a key, right? I just can't find nothing. And it's just all jacked up, right? But I make a joyful. I do everything I can. Sometimes it sounds great. And sometimes, not at all. But guess what, man? He ain't looking to see how beautifully I can hit a note. He's looking at my heart as I sing. The noise that comes out from my mouth, right? I have a beautiful singing voice in here. I just teared it up getting it out the packaging, right? You ever so excited to rip open a present, you destroyed your present? That's my singing voice. There it is. We need to praise him through song, man. We need to praise him through song with our mouth, with our lips. We need to read scriptures out loud, that inspires us to praise God. You know what, all throughout the place, you need a little help getting the right mindset to praise God. Look through your Bible and find examples of his followers that praised him. As we start to read all the ways that people praise God and in the situations that they praised him, and we see that it's possible no matter where you're at or what you're doing, whether you're at the top of the mountain or whether you're under the mountain, right? Do you know what encourages me to see that there were some idiots in the Word of God, some people that just messed up royally, right? Peter's one of them. He's one of Jesus' best friends. How many times did Peter mess up? I mean, Jesus actually called him Satan. Like, get thee behind me, Satan. Like, but I'm Peter, right? He said, no, this is wrong. What you're doing is wrong right now. You need to repent, right? You need to fix things. But how much did Peter get right in establishing new churches and preaching the gospel and seeing millions of people come to know about God because of him? He said, well, I don't know if it was millions. Well, he wrote part of this book, so millions of people have come to know God because of what he said and what he did. It gives me hope for my life, right? There's hope for me. You mean there's a chance? That's it. As we read all the ways that they exalted God, we can see areas and ways that we need to exalt him and praise him and lift him up too by reading his word. How else do we praise God? We praise God by sharing his goodness to others. This is the thing, man. You ever got a present you were so happy about getting? Like, you didn't even care to mess with the present. You just wanted to show it to everybody else, right? You were so excited to tell everybody about what you had just gotten. Why? Because it was amazing. How many of you remember when you, why do we lose it, man? I don't get it. I remember when you first changed your life, how excited you were. I was calling my dad trying to get him saved. He had been a preacher for like 25 years. I'm going to get you saved. My brothers and sisters, I call them. I was in Louisiana. They was all down here. I would call them, and mom said, they say, all you do is just preach at them when you talk to them, right? No wonder they're not answering my calls no more, right? No. But I get on the phone and talk about God and about what he was doing, about who he is constantly, right? Do you know that's the way that we give praise to God? Why? Other people get to know who he is. When you feel the presence of God in your life, man, all you want to do is talk to other people about it. When God does something amazing that you've been praying for a really long time, all you want to do is tell everybody about it. Well, maybe you don't, but I do. I do. And this is the thing that they'll get from it. They'll get because he did it for you, he'll do it for me. Because he did it for you, he'll do it for me. Evangelism, sharing our faith, can be the most powerful form of praise that there is. Why? Because we're telling people how good God is. How he forgives people that don't need to be forgiven. Shouldn't be forgiven. Let me say that. Everybody needs to be forgiven. You understand what I meant by that statement, right? People that shouldn't be able to accept freedom, grace, and mercy can have it. And what better news is that? It shows that we appreciate what he's done for us by telling others. And this is what the scripture says about our testimony. You ready? Revelation 12:11. And they conquered him, talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by what Jesus Christ did for us, and the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. So you know what? I'm going to share Jesus Christ with people, even if it leads to death in my life. I don't care. It is so important. It is so Man, we don't share it because we're worried the lady that we ain't never going to see again in the line at Walmart is going to look at us funny. I'm just being honest. We don't share it because you know the number one reason why people don't share Christ in their life? What? Fear. But fear of what? Fear of people seeing that my life doesn't measure up to what I'm telling you about. That's why a lot of people don't share the Christ with the world. Be honest, the fear of being called a hypocrite because of the way I live versus what I say about God. That's the biggest fear of people sharing Christ with others. But how many of you know we can praise God with our testimony? That's one of the highest forms of praise we can, by sharing what Christ has done for us. Then we share it with our actions, man. We lift our hands to praise to God. How many of you be like, well, why do they lift hands in church? Why do I do that? Why do y'all do that? Why is it necessary that I do that? Where do you get it from? Y'all ready? Psalms 134:1-2 says, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to this holy place and bless the Lord. What is it? Why do we do that? Because it blesses God. Why do we do that? Because it's a sign of surrender most of the time. It's me giving up. Like, when what happens is, like, put your hands up, right? It's a stick up. Everybody like, not me. Look, I ain't do it, right? You walk in and your kids did something. Who broke the glass? Hey, man, wasn't me. I ain't do it, right? That's our opportunity to stand in front of them and say, man, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it, right? It's a surrender. It's me saying, God, I'm going to give you everything. I mean, you know, that's praise to God as well. So when do we praise God? And then I'm going to stop. Y'all ready? I said that last week, and then I went 4 more times. I think I'm at the end of my notes. Yep, I only got like this much left. Just kidding. Why do we praise? When do we praise God? The book of Psalms is a great place to study praise and to understand when we're supposed to praise. How many of you know we're supposed to praise all the time? Anytime, any situation. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Everybody say all times. All times. I want to make sure you catch that. When do we bless the Lord? All all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So constantly, if I'm speaking praise to God, if I'm speaking praise about God, if I'm talking about what God is and who he is, I don't have time to put all this other junk in my mouth. I don't have time for it to come out. And then also, do you know what? If I have praise in my heart, that means God's in the right place in my heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if I've got praise constantly to God about every situation, about what I'm going through, about what I'm doing, no matter where I'm at in it, my praise is, God, you're going to bring me through this mess. Or God, look at the messes that you've already brought me through. Right? Thank you for that. Thank you that you're going to use me to help other people get through their mess. That's a praise. Continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Right? It ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm not prideful. If God uses me, if I lay hands on somebody and they get healed, which I pray, man, God, one day that happens. That I lay hands on them and it's just gone. How amazing is that? Jesus said, the things I do and more will you do. So you know what? That's supposed to be coming out of my life. If I do that and I lay hands on somebody and they're healed immediately, it ain't got nothing to do with me. People are like, well, he's a healer. No, God's a healer. He just let me put my hands on somebody and then he did something, right? Amen. My boasting is in the Lord, not in myself, not in what I've done. Amen. Then it says this, my soul boasts in the Lord, let the humble hear and be glad. You know what humble people are always glad that other people get the glory for what they've done? You guys realize that? Never mind. I'm gonna stop. Verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. How many know that's important that we come together? Why is it important that I come to church on Sunday? Because I have to go to church, and thus saith the Lord, you go to church. Well, he just says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It says that. But what I'm talking about is why do I come here? Paul writes really cool in one of the books that he wrote, and right now my head's all jangled in together, but it just kind of came to me. But one of the things he says, I think it's in Romans, he's talking about coming to them. He said, I can't wait to come to you and share the gospel, and I can't wait for you guys to be able to build me up as well. See, this is a hard place to go. We have a consumer mentality about church. Just going to be honest. I'm going to come here and I'm going to get what I get and then I'm going to go home. If we're walking in that door right there and we're not seeing people and saying, how can I build the people up that are around me? We're missing the whole point of being here. So we rush out of here after and we run in late sometimes. Just right at time, and we do what we do, and then we take off. Do you know, when we do that, we're missing the whole point of us being here besides. So let me share with you how it works. Before the service start and after the service start is my opportunity to build people up in just regular conversation. It is your opportunity to build the people up that are next to you and allow common ground to be established so that everyone understands that they're accepted, they're not alone in it, and that the problems that they're facing, I'm facing too, right? That's before and after the service. The worship portion of the church, of this, has nothing to do with anybody that's in this room. That's 100% for God. It's us taking time with what he's given us, our mouth, and looking to him. You say, well, I didn't get anything out of the worship. That's okay. It's not for you. It's for God. Maybe if you focus more on him, you get something out of it because that's the way God works, right? And then the speaking portion, the preaching portion, no matter who's here, this is opportunity for God to speak to us through his word by using somebody that's standing in front of him, right? By using somebody to speak so that I can see how my life needs to change. Not the person that's sitting next to me. Man, I sure hope my wife's listening to this one. This is for her. No, that's not how it works. She's next door. She can't even hear none of this right now. She'll listen later. Love you, babe. Right? This is one of those things that church isn't just about coming and hearing a couple of songs and having some kind of a performance done and then listening to some guy talk that I'm not really paying attention to because I'm going to make out my grocery list and I'm going to think of everything else I got to do for the week. And then I'm going to walk out of here as quick as I can to go on about my life. That's not what this is for. This is so that we have community together. Fellowship together, people that we can do life together with. And if we're not doing life outside of this door, then we need to be in other people's lives. We need to be involved with other people that are here, like-minded people, going the same way as we're going. We need to come together and not worry about the person on the left or the right is thinking about us while we're worshiping. David, now, look, there's a way to act, right? Paul talks about it. There's a way to act in church. Y'all know how to act in church, right? Are you listening? y'all know how to act in church, right? Y'all know what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Y'all get in your word. Read about what Paul talks about to the Corinthians about church and about and all the different books that he wrote to different people from prison about. Because hey, you know what? Like I said again, those books. Everything but Romans is, y'all not acting right, fix it. This is what we talked about before, right? Romans is the only book that he lines out the gospel and he puts everything, his message, because he wasn't there, he wrote it. Everything else he's writing to them because he heard something was wrong or something was not right or he needed to fix or encourage something because he was the father, founder of that church. That's what he did, right? David danced in the street and people like, you're not supposed to be like that. Don't you understand? He said, you ain't ready for how undignified I'm about to become. Right? It ain't about what you think about me right now. Think about what God thinks about me right now and be praising and worshiping him. Again, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. But worship ain't nothing to do with the people that's standing around you. It's all about God. Praise, using our mouth to lift God, to encourage others, to praise God, to honor other people, man. That's what we're supposed to do. Remember when it said, again, when we're going to stand and account for every idle word we speak, this is what the account's going to be about. How did you use the mouth that I gave you? How did you use what I put into your hands? Did you use it to build people up, or did you use it to try and build yourself up by tearing other people down? There's one of two things, right? One of two things. We're either praising our Father and doing what he called us to do with our mouth, or like I said last week, we're listening again, man, like the one-liners in this little church. This, like, if I was a tweeter, I'd have been tweeting like crazy. Two of them from last week. One of them is if little white lies are permissible, you soon become colorblind, right? You soon become going further and further and further on from where you're at. But the other one is you're never more like the devil than when you're lying. Because he's the father of lies, right? He's the father of lies. Do I want my life to line up with God or the world? My mouth shows where I'm at. My mouth shows where I'm at. I can have all the right clothes. I can do all the right things. I can say all the right things at certain times. But when there's an issue, it shows whether I'm following Christ or not. Right? If I hit my thumb with a hammer, it shows whether I'm following God or not. Maybe that trip to the ER, somebody needs to be saved. I don't know, right? We need to be careful and deliberate about what we say and how we say things. And we need to do everything, guys, come on back up. We need to do everything we can in our power to build people, to encourage people, to make our focus, how can I outdo others with love, with stirring up the love and good works in other people? That's my job. That's your job. How can I cause other people to be better? It's hard. It's difficult. James says this, if anybody can, how's it say it? If anybody can tame his tongue, then he would be perfect. Right? Where's that at? Is that James 1 or James 3? I think it's James 3. Sorry. I'm going to look it up. Sorry. I should have put that in my notes with all the other ones I added last minute, huh? James. Give me just a second. I think it's James 3. Yeah, it's right where it says, not many of us should become teachers, my brothers, for we know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. And then it says this, for we all stumble in many ways. How many stumble in many ways? If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we can learn to control our mouths, God says we'll be perfect.
It's a hard task.
It's a difficult task. But how many of you know, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Bow your heads, close your eyes. As I was speaking, God was speaking to your heart, saying, you know what? I don't lift people up. I don't honor people, and I don't praise God the way that I should with my mouth. If I'm honest with myself, I'm doing the exact opposite with most of my time. And I'm ready to change it. The cool thing about understanding that you're wrong gives you an opportunity for change. Amen? Today, you're ready to change it. You're ready to start speaking life. You're ready to honor people. You're ready to let praise be continually in your mouth. Again, Scripture says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So today we're going to look at our heart right now. Say, man, my heart's not in the right place with some things. As you said earlier, I'm holding on to some bitterness, so I'm bitter about everything. I'm holding on to some hurt, so I'm hurt about everything. I'm holding on to some fear, so I'm fearful about everything. I'm holding on to things that I need to give to God and I need to let go. You'd be honest and say, hey, that's me. I need to let go of some of these things. Just put them up, put them back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, thank you. Thank you. Cool thing is, Scripture tells us that He hears us and that He answers us. Amen? It says that He'll take our issues, our sins, and take them as far as the east is from the west. Right? Means He's still traveling to this day, getting further and further away from us. Dear Heavenly Father, You saw the hands that were raised. You know the hearts that raised them. You know the issues that they faced, the battles that are going on, the hurts and the bitterness and the pain and the fear and things that are gripping them in their heart. God, I ask that You would now give them a peace, Holy Spirit, that passes understanding what Your Word says. That forgiveness would come, that they would be able to forgive others, that they would be able to forgive themselves, God, for the past. And not hold on to any of it other than the fact that You have delivered them from it and they don't have to worry about it anymore. God, I ask that You would help us with that now. Help us see You in everything. Help us understand that You are the reason we have the things that we have in our lives. Again, every good and perfect gift is from the Father above. Help us be humble and understand that everything we have is because of You, Your grace and mercy. And help us share Your glory with everyone, with what we speak, with what we say, with what we do. We ask it now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God is good to us, amen?
Amen.
So listen, I want us to stand up. What are we singing right now?
Victory in Jesus.
Victory in Jesus. How, that's fitting. I like it. To praise Him about what He's done through Jesus for our lives. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go nowhere yet. Don't worry. I let out just a few minutes. Okay, no, I didn't. I let out. I'm just going to stop talking about when we got out. I want you to just not go anywhere for just a minute. And I want you to take your focus off everybody else that's around right now. And I want you to stand up and put everything you have focusing on God and how good He is. Amen? Because this is His time right now. Let's give it to Him. Stand to your feet.